Our Old Testament reading is Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. And the New Testament reading is John 21, beginning at verse 15. Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all the things, and you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is a disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down, and we know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to look at your word, we ask that you would open the eyes of our heart, open the ears so that we can hear, open the ears for understanding, Lord, and stir within us something in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, I read that 250,000 people logged on every month during the pandemic to find resources on forgiveness. The Global Forgiveness Institute said that they have seen 10 times the number of visits to their site. I wonder why. There's something special about John's Gospel. I love how it draws us in so that we want to read more of the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus is, of course, set out for us to read and understand in all of the Gospels. But in John's Gospel, it is a central theme. Obviously, John felt Jesus' love in a strong and personal way. He was sensitive to the words and actions of Jesus. His gospel clearly communicates how the one who is love loved others. That is so precious to us in a world in which we often fail to see real love or receive real love. With Jesus, we don't have to pretend that we're something other than our true self. Jesus knows us inside out. There's no place to hide from his love. His love challenges us to change when that's necessary and to love others. To love others unconditionally and to serve them without expecting anything back. That in itself is a big ask. John chapter 21 tells us how Jesus commissioned Peter. The first 14 verses set the scene for Jesus' conversation with Peter. Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, which is really another name for the Sea of Galilee. After Jesus' death and resurrection, several of the disciples had returned to fishing in the Sea of Galilee. This wasn't a bad sign or that their faith had weakened in any way. Even rabbis who regularly preached still followed their own secular occupations. When Paul went to Corinth, we read in Acts 18, there he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. It was Jesus who declared that Simon would be called Cephas, an Aramaic name equivalent to the Greek Petros, from which Peter is derived. Simon gradually became known as Peter among everyone, although Jesus continued to call him Simon when talking to him, as in this part of our passage. Originally a fisherman, Peter and his brother Andrew were among the first to be called by Jesus to be disciples together with James and John. They wouldn't have been greatly educated. They were just ordinary working men with little formal education. Yet, here's the exciting bit, Jesus calls them. Peter was also the first of the disciples to confess his belief in Jesus as the Messiah in Matthew chapter 16. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter's name also occurs first on every list of the 12 apostles. Do you love me? The three questions and affirmations mirror Peter's three denials. The first time Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than these? Referring to the other disciples. I wonder, did this remind Peter of his insistence that he would be more courageous and faithful than the others? And again we read in Matthew, Peter declared, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. The second time, Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" Again, he focused on Peter and used the word translated into Greek as agape. The third time, Jesus used the word translated into Greek as phileo, which was basically asking Peter, "Are you even my friend?" Peter had to face up to his true feelings and motives. I'm sure it was uncomfortable for Peter. It must have hurt. How low must Peter have felt? He had denied Jesus three times and must have been feeling ashamed. He replies with, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." I wonder if Jesus was to ask us those questions. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? What our response would be? Do we love Jesus? And if we love Jesus, how do we show that we love Jesus? Are we obedient, faithful, and authentic? After the third question and affirmation, Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So in all, Peter was told, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, and finally, feed my sheep." Jesus knew that despite Peter's failings, he still had faith and was truly committed to him. Peter had shown humility when questioned by Jesus. Jesus asked Peter to nurture and protect Christ's followers. How must Peter have felt hearing that? What encouragement that Jesus still believed in him. What affirmation. And don't we need encouragement when sometimes we make mistakes, we make a mess of things, and we want to start again, that we can move forward with God's grace? We also need the grace of others too. Sometimes that can be harder to come across. I want to challenge us today to think, are we grace givers? And don't we need encouragement as we do the Lord's work, whatever that may be, whatever that looks like? And I know that COVID has put some of our work within the life of the church on hold, whilst others have been able to continue their work. No matter what we do, we should all be encouraged. Paul says in Romans 1 and verse 12, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. McLaren, in his commentary on this passage, says, "How significant and beautiful it is that the only thing that Jesus Christ cares to ask about is the sinner's love. That speaks volumes. The only thing that Jesus Christ cares to ask about is the sinner's love." Jesus doesn't make Peter apologize or feel bad for denying him three times. Equally, Peter does not keep up any sense of bravado. When we feel discouraged, thinking that we don't love Jesus enough, remember that he loves us far more than we could ever imagine or fully comprehend. If we love him, all the rest will follow. And that gives us hope. Verses 18 and 19. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." So in these verses, Jesus predicted how Peter would die, which according to the early church tradition was by crucifixion in Rome under Emperor Nero. Jesus finishes by saying, "Follow me," which is also referring to the fact that by Peter following Jesus, that would lead to suffering and even death. If we read on in the New Testament, we see how Peter honoured Jesus' commands. We see the great leader Peter became. He had authority as well as humility. Jesus turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Jesus told Peter that he should not concern himself with what would happen to John. It was none of his business. At times, we compare our Christianity to those of others. Why? Are we rationalizing our own level of devotion? Are we derailed by the experiences of others? We need to stop comparing ourselves to one another. God doesn't want us to be jealous of those who have the things we want or those who have the abilities we don't. God has a special and wonderful plan for all our lives. We must seek to get to know God intimately. Then we will be able to discern God's will for our lives. We need to stay in our lane, as it were, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Ultimately, what matters most for us as Christians is to follow him and do his will, no matter what comes our way. Author and speaker Joyce Meyer said, "We always want God to change our circumstance, but he's more interested in changing us than he is our situation." He's more interested in changing us than he is our situation. Peter, while often bold and courageous in behavior, never exalted himself. We see evidence of this after Jesus' miracle of the large fish catch, when Peter said to him, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Later, after Jesus' resurrection, when the church was becoming established, we read in Acts, when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I am only a man myself." While Peter was most certainly a prominent and very important member of the new Christian church, never did he exercise or claim to have authority over the other apostles. John concludes his gospel with, "Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written." As someone who loves books and reading, this verse fascinates me. I think what John is acknowledging here, as well as saying that all that Jesus did is not necessarily documented, but what he is acknowledging is that what he has described in his book is bigger than anything he could ever imagine, bigger than anything he could ever fully communicate. This is Jesus we are talking about. This is his story in all its beauty, honesty, and majesty. We are deeply and utterly loved by God, and no matter what happens to us, or how we mess up, or how many mistakes we make, God loves us unconditionally. In the 14th century, Julian of Norwich wrote, "He did not say, 'You shall not be tempest-tossed, you shall not be work-weary, you shall not be discomforted,' but he said, 'You shall not be overcome.'" God wants us to heed these words so that we shall always be strong in trust, both in sorrow and in joy. Jesus' first words to Peter in Mark chapter 1 were, "Follow me." And Jesus' last words to Peter in John were, "Follow me." What about us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we offer up our thanks to you. We thank you, Lord, for how much you love us. And we praise you, Lord, for your majesty. We praise you for your greatness. We thank you for sending Jesus. And we thank you for your word in which we can read all about you and your story. We ask, Lord, that as we all move into a new week, that we would show something of Jesus to those around us. And because of that, they would be changed, Lord. They would ask questions. They would want to know more about your precious Son. In Jesus' name, amen.